Heal us, O Lord, and we'll be healed. Save us, and we'll be saved, for you are the one we praise. Amen. Text for consideration today is recorded for us in the book of Matthew, chapter 26, verses 36 through 46. We hear these words. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he told his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and distressed. And then he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." He went a little farther, fell on his face, and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. He said to Peter, "So were you not able to stay awake with me for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you do not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." And he went away a second time and prayed, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to pass from me unless I drink it, may your will be done." Again he returned and found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy, and he left them again and went away and prayed a third time. He said the same words as before. And then he returned to his disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour is near. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Look, my betrayer is near." God's word is truth. Amen. This was not going to be a restful night for Jesus. What does a condemned man do on the night before his execution? I don't know. I imagine that some write letters to loved ones. Some might listen to music. Others may order their favorite meal. I imagine many wait for a phone call in the hope that their lawyer managed to negotiate a last-minute reprieve. I can't imagine that any of them sleep. How can you sleep the night before your death sentence is carried out? Jesus didn't sleep either. Instead, he spent the anxious hours of darkness in prayer. Of course, there is a difference between a convict on death row and Jesus, but it's more than the fact that the convict is guilty and Jesus is innocent. The difference is Jesus had a choice. No army could hold him down if he wanted to walk away from Good Friday. 12 legions of angels could come to his aid if he asked. The whole being of this innocent man rebelled at the thought of death. He prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me." Think of the choice he made there in the garden that night. Jesus chose to exercise his right not to choose for himself. "Your will be done," Jesus concluded. Only Jesus would let someone else determine his destiny. When was this plan to save the world from its sin first conceived? It wasn't a light bulb moment when Jesus was leading his disciples in the Passover meal. It was before he entered into Jerusalem. It was before he was born. It was even before the creation of the world. The Bible calls Jesus the Lamb that was slain from the creation of the world, there in Revelation chapter 13. Even before Adam and Eve fell into sin, God's plan to save the world was in place. Did Jesus know what this plan would involve? Of course he knew. He was there when it was formed. It was his Father's plan. But it was his plan too. After the fall into sin, the promise was given. And there would be no turning back from the plan. When God makes a promise, it must be carried out. God told Adam and Eve that the offspring of the woman would crush the serpent's head. The serpent would strike his heel and make him suffer. On that night in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus knew that the serpent was raising his head to strike. The time for suffering had come. And as the Son of God, Jesus knew the plan of the Heavenly Father. But here, moments before it takes place, Jesus struggles against something so horrifying that we cannot imagine it. Sadness filled his soul. Jesus spoke, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Remember that Jesus, the Son of God, is also fully human. Human flesh does not easily submit to such pain as Jesus would endure, especially if there's a choice. We don't ask the dentist to forgo the Novocaine and drill close to the nerve because we want to feel the pain. Our flesh does not choose to endure pain, nor did Jesus. The idea of a crown of thorns being pressed into his skull, his back made bloody with a scourge, being pierced with nails and then hoisted up on the cross to endure the pains of suffocation, is horrid. Death reaches for the author of life. But Jesus knew it must take place. This was God's plan. It had always been God's plan. There's another dimension here to what Jesus would suffer that is beyond our comprehension. The shame and guilt of every human sin was upon him, the Holy One of God. I don't think we can imagine such agony. I mean, we've lived with guilt and shame all our lives. Jesus had none. But now, he knew he must bear the guilt and shame of the world. And so he did. It was with a purpose that Jesus invited Peter, James, and John to listen in on his prayer. And he wants you to hear it too. "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Not as I will, but as you will." Does it surprise us that Jesus would be asking for some other way to fulfill the purpose? It surprises me. But it also shows me just how awful his suffering was. This wasn't a trip to the dentist or a knee surgery. This was the innocent Son of God about to be dragged as an unholy thing to suffer death and the pains of hell. He paused at the thought. People do not enjoy pain. And the reality of God's plan included much pain. "May your will be done," so says his Spirit. In the first prayer Jesus spoke, he was asking his Father if there was any other way to accomplish this task. Then he returned to his disciples, and what did he find? Sleeping disciples, "Were you not able to stay awake with me for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Couldn't they stay awake for just 1 hour? But it was late. They had done much that day. They had eaten a full meal and had a bit of wine with a Passover meal. We cannot blame them for falling asleep. We cannot blame them because we know how weak our flesh can be. We approach God in our morning prayers, and before we have prayed everything that needs to be prayed, we start to think about all that needs to be done, and we don't even finish the prayer. Our eyelids get heavy in worship and in our family devotions. Bible class is considered too much of a commitment. It might very well be the desire of our spirit, but our flesh is weak. When Jesus saw the weakness of his disciples, he went back to his prayers. And he went away and prayed, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to pass from me unless I drink it, may your will be done." Do you hear a difference in this second prayer? More resolve, more determination. "Father, if this is the only way, then I will do it." Why do we hear the determination grow? Could it be the sleeping disciples? When he went to his heavenly Father the second and third time, he saw in his mind the disciples sleeping. They were weak. He saw you drifting off to sleep or distracted in prayer too. He saw you choosing the pillow instead of the pew on Sunday morning. He saw our spirit's intent to be about the word, but the weakness of our flesh went out. He saw the weakness of his disciples then and now. He knew what he must do. He knew there was no other way. Sometimes love gives us no choice. Ask the father who dashes into the flames of a burning house to spare his infant son. Did he consider how hot the flames would be? Did he think how dense the smoke would be? Did he imagine how long he would suffer in the hospital if the flames scorched the skin from his body? Did he ask if anyone already tried or if anyone knew if the flames had reached the second floor? No. Heavens no. In the instant when his child was in danger, his destiny was determined by his love. Love gave him no choice. In the same way, Jesus had no choice in the Garden of Gethsemane. Well, yeah, sure, he could have walked away, but he didn't. His love for you didn't give him a choice. He follows his Father's will. We are saved from the fires of hell and are eternally grateful. Amen. Now may the grace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.